The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, smartwatches are something that we're all wearing, or at least many of us are at the moment. But are they a good thing in terms of getting fit and healthy? Or is there a danger we could become slaves to them? Now, joining us to discuss this is Stephen O'Rourke, clinical specialist in musculoskeletal physiotherapy at the Mater University Hospital, Dublin. He has a specialist focus on spinal care and lower back pain. He's also a guest lecturer at the Royal College of Surgeons and a former health contributor to the Farmers Journal. Stephen, thanks indeed for joining us. Let's start with the positive. Smartwatches, they can be a good thing, can't they?
Yeah, I suppose overall, genuinely, since they have come into play within our lives, we've seen a genuine increase in physical activity levels. So they make movement more visible to us. We can see our kind of step counts, our heart rate, our progress. And this really has helped people build healthier habits and stay accountable. And, you know, we've seen kind of a genuine increase in more steps being taken by people and more time spent in kind of moderate to vigorous exercise, which has huge health implications for the management of kind of chronic diseases.
So they can actively encourage you to get out there and do more.
Yeah, they give you kind of a visual tool to see how much activity you're actually engaging in. And I use them kind of daily within clinic. I suppose inactivity or kind of sedentary lifestyle can have impacts on people's health. And just being able to, you know, most people will say, oh, you know, I live a very active life. I'm up and about a lot, or I'm always on my feet. And when you actually get them to take out their phones or ask them to use their phone as a way to monitor their activity, usually they're surprised at how little they're moving. Now, they're not perfect in terms of their accuracy, but they're a good overall guide in terms of a trend.
I presume as well they're good for people with certain heart conditions, health conditions, I should say, not heart conditions, although they can help in relation to that. But in terms of monitoring things, do they play a role in that as well?
Yeah, I suppose we've seen kind of huge strides in wearables being used in kind of clinical populations. So you'll see often people with diabetes now have these kind of continuous glucose monitors that kind of, rather than having done the traditional finger prick test where they'd have to maybe measure their glucose levels kind of on an hourly basis, they're now getting kind of real-time glucose levels to their phone, which I suppose that real-time feedback has huge health implications on their ability to better manage their glucose levels. So we've seen big strides in that, and in heart health and kind of other clinical populations within the hospital settings, kind of remote monitoring for clinics as well.
Okay, so let's talk about the less good side now. Is there a danger that we become slaves? And what are the downsides of these watches?
Yeah, I think, you know, with anything, when they initially came on the market, you know, everybody's raving about how good they are. And now they've been around for so long, we're starting to examine actually, you know, the impact of them on our lives. And I suppose people now are a little bit slaves to their data, you know, with kind of obsessively checking them or checking in, or there's a gamification to them as well in that, you know, they're chasing kind of daily goals, targets, closing rings. And with that comes an unhealthy obsession, or could potentially be an unhealthy obsession. And we start to listen to the device rather than actually listen to our bodies. You know, there's been lots of examination of the accuracy of them and how they actually overestimate or underestimate things like our steps, as we've spoken about, but also our calories, which can have huge implications. A lot of people will, you know, I'd be going out for lunch with friends and they'll be saying, oh, I did a big hike today and I burned 600 calories. So they'll order the higher calorie meal or go for the dessert. And if that device has overestimated how much calories they've actually burned, they're overeating. And on a long-term basis, you know, then you can end up having health management issues, or what they think is helping them is actually hindering them.
There's also this concept, is it orthosomnia?
Yeah, so it's not a recognized sleep disorder, but it is kind of mentioned in kind of the sleep literature around this unhealthy obsession with sleep. And we're seeing kind of sleep tracking is a really popular, people kind of talking about their how much time they've spent in their REM cycle overnight and, you know, how many hours sleep they've gotten. And when you look at kind of clinically measuring sleep, it's actually done by measuring brain waves, you know, in a clinical setting. And what the wearables do is look at movement, breathing patterns, and your heart rate, which is not, it gives you an estimate on how much you slept, but it's not perfect. And this kind of orthosomnia is that kind of obsessive checking of your sleep data, which then becomes a fixation.
Do you think these watches create a level of anxiety that maybe wouldn't be there if you weren't wearing them?
I think for myself personally, when it came to sleep tracking, I used to track my sleep, and it became a thing where I would reach for my, you know, my phone to look at kind of the data that my wearable has given it overnight, and to be often I'd be disappointed, being like, I've actually not slept that well. I've been awake for hours during the night. I've spent little time in my REM recovery sleep, and then I'd feel really deflated, thinking, "Oh God, I've had a terrible night's sleep." When actually, you know, if I reflected on how I truly felt, all of those things are quite normal to be moving during the night. And actually, I felt really rested, ready for the day and ready to exercise. But I was kind of getting into the rhythm of overly checking, you know, checking in with the sleep scores.
So listen to your body, not your watch, basically.
Yeah, really, you know, ask yourself, you know, am I ready to exercise? Do I feel rested? And I suppose the other thing that our wearables do is they tell us how ready we are or how much we've recovered. We're getting these kind of recovery scores or readiness for exercise, which again are estimates. And what we don't want is people kind of saying, oh, you know, I haven't recovered because my watch is telling me I haven't recovered. Therefore, I'm not going to do my exercise today, or I'm not going to, you know, engage in my sport, where actually you need to ask yourself, how do I feel? Do I feel like I've got enough energy? Do I feel rested? And then make that judgment based on your own body.
Okay, so I suppose final question, how do we get the balance right? Because look, like it or not, these watches are here to stay. And as you pointed out, they can help us in lots of ways. How do we maintain a healthy balance?
Yeah, I think they're really great for accountability. They're really brilliant for giving you kind of feedback loops around your kind of health stats, and helping you set goals. But what we want to do really is not think of them as a coach or a physio, and not replace our common sense with them. So use them really as a guide, but look at your own judgment first.
Okay, sounds eminently sensible. Stephen O'Rourke, a clinical specialist in musculoskeletal physiotherapy at the Mater University Hospital, Dublin, with a specialist focus on spinal care and lower back pain. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder this evening.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.